Okay, grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 26:3. A verse I think we've all heard at least once in our lifetime. So this morning I'm going to be teaching on God's peace. God wants us to be peaceful. It's really important to Him. It should be important to us. If you want to be peaceful, we have to look at God and His Word. There's no other place that we can get the peace that we need and deserve. God not only wants us to be peaceful because it's it feels good, or it's, you know, lack of strife, lack of turmoil in one's mind, but a peaceful heart is a heart that receives from God. Peaceful heart is one that God can talk to with His still small voice. Peaceful heart trusts in God and knows God. So it's a two-way street, you know. God helps us, we help God. We never need to be worried or anxious about anything because God is always with us. We heard that in the manifestations. A lot of time, you know, life can be interesting. There's things, situations, circumstances that happen in our lives, happen in my life. I mean, I could, you know, I just never imagined some of the things that have happened. And some of it can be very stressful. And even if you're in a stressful circumstance or situation, God can still keep your heart peaceful. That is available. And, you know, a stressful situation or circumstance, it doesn't always have to be negative. I mean, has anyone ever bought a house? That is a stressful circumstance. You know, got a new job. Retired, I imagine, is be stressful. Having kids, I mean, you know. It's just getting married, you know, there's a lot of, no offense, there's no, I've heard that. So it's, you know, buy a new car, some people, technology, oh my gosh, ever buy a new TV, you have to set it up, you have to program it, computers. So it doesn't always have to be like these negative circumstances, but through anything, God is always there to guide us, to give us His peace when we trust in Him. So are we in Isaiah 26:3?
Mm-hmm.
Check my time here. Okay. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay, thou wilt. Who's the thou here? God. Is will just like a maybe?
No.
It's an absolute. God will keep means what? Protect, guard, uphold him in perfect peace. Shalom is the word perfect. Hebrew, you've probably heard that. It's common for Jewish people to say shalom to one another. And this is a figure of speech here, perfect peace. It's actually shalom, shalom. And figures of speech are for emphasis. So God's emphasis here is that He will keep peace, peace, like double peace. And says, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Okay. Do you see all the italics in this verse? Mm-hmm. Lynn Earle did a great teaching years ago at family camp on this verse. And hopefully I remember it. I researched it myself. I kind of remember what she said. So, Lynn, if you're listening to this sometime, I hope this is correct. I know it's correct because I really looked into it. Okay, so this makes it sound like when you stay your mind, when you concentrate, when you grunt like, you know, with all your might, you know, you're going to be peaceful. But it actually says the opposite. It says that God is the one who keeps your mind stayed when you're in, when you trust in Him. Okay? So, stay is to support or build up. Does anyone, any guy in here have a dress shirt that has that little piece of plastic in their collar?
Yes.
What's that called?
Stay.
That's right. You know, back when Moses, when Aaron and Hur, I think it was holding the staff up?
Yep. Uh-huh.
They said that they stayed his arms. So what God does is that He supports our mind. And the word mind here is interesting too, because it's something that is framed together, something that is built. Okay? So ever hear the expression, frame of mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. This is what God supports. He supports your frame of mind. So I'm going to read this without the italics. So, thou wilt keep in perfect peace mind stayed, because he trusteth in him. See, God keeps you in perfect peace. He is the one that supports your mind. He is the one that sustains you. And it's all because we trust in Him. Mm-hmm. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So when we trust in God, it allows Him to keep our minds peaceful. So go to Psalm 37. Center of your Bible, right? Psalms 37. And we're going to pick up in verse 23. But I wanted to find trust so that everyone is on the same page. Trust is a firm belief. Not just a belief, a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. So you totally rely on it. It's a firm belief. And it's in their ability and their strength, not on your own. Okay, so we're in Psalm 37, and we're going to pick it up in verse 23. Okay, the steps of a good man are ordered or prepared by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God delights in his way. Though he fall or fail or fall short, he should not be utterly cast down or sent away. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand, and his hand is his strength and power. And the verse there, or the word there, upholdeth, is that word stay. Okay? So God stays the person up, even though sometimes you fall short. Sometimes you're in situations where you just fail. But God is always there to pick you up and uphold you. So, I have to finish this. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There was a great guy named Bill Locker years ago, come to my fellowship. He's the first one that quoted this verse to me. And he used to love quoting this verse. And basically, you know, God is going to be there with the righteous, and we are righteous. Forsaken, you know, it says God is always with us and will never forsake us. And that is a wonderful comfort. That verse in itself should give you tremendous peace, knowing that these trials and tribulations of life that we go through, we don't go through them alone. Never have to face anything alone, because God is always with us and will not turn his back on us, even if we fall short. Even if we miss the mark, he's there. Okay. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 3. And verse 1. My son, forget not my law, the word, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Okay? For length of days and long life and what?
Peace
shall they add to thee. So length of days is interesting. I looked it up. It means forbearance or patience. I think I need a lot of patience. I could tell you stories. Most of them are work-related. I had this guy the other day. Oh, my gosh. Mansion in Gladwin. They called me 15 years ago. And I remember working for him a couple of times, and I'm glad they never called again. And then I had the voice on the answer machine. Kip, I don't know if you're still in business, but if you are, please give me a call. So, of course, I didn't call him back because I really didn't want to work for them. Then 2 weeks goes by. Kip, don't forget that we're friends of such and such, like really good customers. So I'm like, okay, now I have to go. So I show up, and I remember now why. So I'm in the bathtub. The guy gets in the bathtub with me. His face, I'm like this, taking apart. His face is like here. He's wearing a mask, too. It's like, social distancing, seriously? So he's like, oh, Kip, here, you need to take the plate off first, and you need to do this. And I'm just like, I said, I've been doing this a long time. You hired me to do this. So please, just let me try something first without. And the guy was actually pretty cool. He didn't take it personally. So, but I did lose my peace. I will tell you, I'll be the first one to say, like, I'm saying, like, forget this. I just felt like just walking out of there, like, I'm out of here. So it needed a new thermostat. It's a Dornbracht, you know, which, of course, no one's ever heard of because they're so expensive, only Mansions Gladwin can buy them. So needed a new thermostat. So I said, okay, need a new thermostat. And the problem was, the water was not cold enough. Is that a problem to you? No. So, exactly. You could do it perfectly, you know, 120 degrees, whatever you take your shower at. But no, they wanted it colder. So I'm just talking about it. Okay. So they call back like 2 weeks later. Oh, Kip, we have the part, the thermostat. So, got my prayer warriors with me, got Alex on it, got my wife on it, whoever else. So, like, normally I would have just said, no, I'm not coming back. But I was working on my teaching on the peace of God in one's heart. So how could I, like, not put it into practical application? So, and one thing I knew from before is that I was not prepared. Usually, I know all my customers. I'm not used to working for people I don't really know. So I wasn't prepared. My heart was not prepared to have patience and to, you know, forbear under circumstances, because that's what you have to do. You know, I have the luxury of picking and choosing. But some of you work with people, you don't have that luxury. Or, you know, if you're a teacher or whatever, you just don't have that luxury. So, you know, most of the time you're not going to change them. So you have to change yourself. And you're not going to let people steal God's peace from your heart, because, you know, he's not going to be able to teach you that way. And so anyway, so I went back, and I will tell you, it wasn't easy, but everything worked out. And I changed my attitude. I went in there with the attitude of being patient, of being thankful, because they didn't care about money. I mean, I could charge them whatever I want to. And how God would provide what I needed. So it actually really worked out. And ever hear of Living Victoriously, the class that, you know, some of us went to? Okay, well, during that class, they had all these different topics. And one of them was Living Victoriously in God's Peace. And it was the only topic that was taught twice at that camp. So it was really important. And I will quote Dr. Werwell from that book, and it is in there. To be a great plumber, you have to have God's peace. That is in that book. So turn to Psalm 119. To be great at anything, but that was in there. So for all of you that look forward to my plumbing stories and my teaching, I hope that did not disappoint. Okay, 119, 165. Man, there's a lot of verses in this. Okay. Great peace. What kind of peace?
Great.
Have they which love thy law, love the word, and nothing shall offend them. Offend means to make them stumble. So great peace have those that love the word. Okay, Psalm 29. Okay, verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. A lot of times, peace and strength are used together because it takes strength to have God's peace. But it's not our strength. It's God's strength. He's the one that stays your mind. He's the one that helps. Now, we're going to get to it later in Philippians. I'm sure you're familiar with that section of verses where, you know, We change our mind, we put on godly thoughts, etc., and we get peace because of that. But, you know, it's always, we have to look for God's peace. There's plenty of other places we could look for peace. I mean, you could listen to music or whatever, go fishing, etc. But that's all empty peace. I mean, it might feel good, etc., but the peace that you really need, that settles your heart, that prepares you for different situation, only comes from God. I still love to fish, though. Okay, where the heck are we? Okay, we're going to Isaiah again. 32. And this was in verse 17, this is one of our theme verses 1 year, I believe. And I think Sid mentioned this in one of his teachings recently. 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance for how long?
Ever.
Yeah. So quietness is tranquility, you're not being disturbed. Assurance is safety or a place of refuge. God is our refuge, right? And verse 18, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Pretty cool, huh? Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
So I want to look at a couple examples from the Word of situations where people might have lost their peace and how it was handled. So we're going to start that little section in 2 Kings. You know where that is. We're actually not going there. We're going to 2 Chronicles, but it's very close. Mm-hmm. So this is a record of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. We'll actually read what God says about him in chapter 31, 2 Chronicles 31. I did. I changed it. We're going to 2 Kings next. Yep. Okay. And chapter 31, verse 20, it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God. He did it with all his heart and prospered." Interesting, you know, we're taught to trust the Lord with all our heart. Hezekiah trusted God, and, you know, he did that which was good and right before God. He walked with God, and it takes a peaceful heart to walk with God. There's no two ways about it. And if you look at the prophets, if you look at Jesus Christ, you look at the apostles, they had peaceful hearts. And when they didn't have peaceful hearts, they went to God to get them realigned for his support. We're going to pick it back up in chapter 32. And the king of Syria, you know, a lot of times the records of the Old Testament are like records of battle, records of war. But we can learn from that, right? Because we still battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we have other things that our battles are. So the king of Assyria wanted to take out Hezekiah. And so Hezekiah wanted to talk to his people and set them at ease. So this is what he said in verse 6. "And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them." I love that, isn't it? He spoke words of comfort. This is what he said. "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria..." Do not be dismayed for the king of Assyria, "nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And the word "rested" is the same word as "stayed" in Isaiah 26:3. That's what, you know, sustained their minds. That's what built them up. And his words are, "Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed." You know, dismayed is, we know what be afraid is, but dismayed is different than afraid. Mm-hmm. Dismayed is when you get beaten down. You kind of feel like the whole world is coming down your shoulders and there's no way out. And here's what he's, I mean, they saw the multitudes. But his response to that was, "Greater is he that is with you," like us, "it's greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." The odds are always going to seem like they're stacked against you. That's one of the ploys of the adversary. He's going to make it look like he's strong and you're weak, but it's the opposite. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I get kind of confused sometimes when I'm teaching. But the truth is that he has absolutely no power against us. When you resist him, he has to flee. Light dispels darkness. It's not even, it's like night and day, right? Day and night. So they rested on these words. They were told not to be, not to look at the circumstances, to look at God. That's our mantra in our, you know, quest for peace. Okay, now we're to 2 Kings, Not too far away, right? In chapter 6. This is the record of Elisha, great prophet. This is the people that were going after Judah. They couldn't understand how they couldn't like kill the king of Israel. And they're like, okay, first off, which one of you is like feeding him information? And they're like, we're not feeding him any information. There's like this person, Elisha, that he is telling them like things that you say in your bedchamber, like what God is telling him to say. Ever watch Seinfeld when, like instead of saying Newman, the king was saying, Elisha. So he said, Elisha, I'm going to get him. So he surrounded Elisha with, you'll see, let's read it. Okay, so Elisha the prophet. Okay, so therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed. They surrounded the city about. Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, didn't you exactly? I was mentally, you know. Okay, chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore sent he thither. 6:14. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Okay, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, lots of people, and they came by night and surrounded the city about. So they surrounded Elisha. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. That's a lot of might, a lot of power. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And his word, alas, denotes pain. It's like, oh no, what are we going to do? Does that sound peaceful to you?
No.
So Elisha's answer to that was, fear not. You know, that a lot of times that's our answer to not being peaceful. It's okay. God's with you. He's going to take care of you. There's no reason to fear. Calm down. And he answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I love this next verse because there's a couple of verses in God's word where God just like opens up people's eyes and lets them see spiritually what is there. Like, you know, he gives them a vision. Like, we should know spiritually what's there, but here he just shows it outright, so there's no doubt. So this is what he showed them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. How'd you like to get that little vision? So chariots of fire symbolize God's divine protection and deliverance. So open his eyes. So Elisha was protected. They might have surrounded him with all those other things, but within that, Elisha had God on his side. And we also have to remember that is us too. And if you ever, or next time you're at family camp. Do you know this?
The painting.
The painting, yeah.
In the lobby.
There's a painting in the lobby.
Yeah.
That when you're standing to in line to go to the food area, to the right, there's this beautiful painting. And I showed it to Linda. I was standing there, I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is what the servant saw. And he just looked up and it's just all this lights. And just you could just say, like, wow. That is so cool. So, I think it's time to get to the New Testament, don't you think? Go to Ephesians. And we're in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And so the point of me going to that Old Testament record of Elisha, of course, was to show that, you know, we have to look at things spiritually to keep our peace. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do what?
Believe.
According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. See, through the knowledge of God, through his spirit, we can see things as they are, which is spiritually, where greater, you know, that you can make that verse live in your heart. Like when it seems like everything is against you, you can see like, you know, no, I don't accept that. I'm not going to have my peace stolen from me. I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to see him work in the situation, and I'm going to be peaceful. So turn to Philippians, getting towards the end here. And chapter 4. Says, be careful, or do not be full of care. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. So be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
Are there any exceptions to that nothing? No. Without exception, you are not to worry about anything. And look, I'm the first to tell you that I worry. You know, I get anxious. I do. But I usually can keep it, you know, in check.
Tempered.
Yeah, I temper it. Exactly. And, you know, that's, again, you know, that's life. We're all going to have those situations, those circumstances. And they can be strange things, too. Like, I'm remodeling my third floor bathroom. Like, how can that be stressful, right, Jim? How can remodeling anything be stressful? But, you know, it is. I'm dealing with subcontractors, and I, you know, some things I haven't decided what I want yet. And, you know, when you do a bathroom, when you set that tile, that like stays forever. So I don't want to make bad choices and, you know, just silly things like that. But God is, you know, he wants to be part of everything in your life. He doesn't want to always, you know, have you go to him for like the big things. He just wants you to be peaceful all the time, no matter what. Okay. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So there's your contrast. Nothing and everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If there is a formula, if there's a recipe for peace, this is it. Go to God with prayer. Don't worry about anything and lift it up to God in prayer with thanksgiving. That's the part that most people leave out. They, you know, it's like, whoops, forgot that part, you know. Sometimes it's hard to remember to be thankful, grateful when you're dealing with some really heavy situations. But
that's the key.
That's the key.
That's the key to believing.
That's right. Be thankful. And that allows numerous things to take place in your heart, mm-hmm. and that blesses God. And the peace. So, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it surpasses all understanding. It's above and beyond all that we can understand, shall keep, that protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what?
Thank you.
On these things. See, we can think on these things. We actually have that ability. We can control our thoughts. People get into trouble where they don't control their thoughts. And it leads you down a path that you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Definitely don't. So we know that in 1 Peter, it says to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's one of the things that we always have to remember, that God is on our side. He wants us to manifest that peace. He absolutely cares for us, and we just need to let it go. Be still and know that I am God, right? Mm-hmm. Be still means to let go. That's a quote, 1 Peter 5:7 is a quote of Psalm 55:22, where it says that we are to cast all our burden upon God, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved or slip or fall or be dislodged. So we're going to close in Romans 15. And my default subject in my mind when I'm unpeaceful is the hope of Christ's return. It was in the manifestations, beautiful manifestations. And it's not, it should be like the first, you know, it's always there. But when I get myself in these situations where it's like, really, like, how did I get myself in this situation? I mean, half jokingly, I say to God, God, not trying to tell you what to do, but now might be as good as time as any to send your son. I'm not trying to influence you one way or the other, but
we're here.
Still here, so it did. Obviously God, you know, wasn't exactly. So yeah, you know, that's that in and of itself, knowing that this life is temporal. You know, this is all going to be a distant memory sometime, and we're all going to be together. You know, no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more darkness. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So Romans 15:13, my ending verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.